All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8, tonight. The book of Romans, chapter 8. And I'll begin reading in verse 1, and I'll go ahead and tell you that verse 6 is going to be my text verse from where I will take the message tonight. But let's begin in verse 1 and read down through verse 9, all right? No, verse 10, I'm sorry. 1 to 10, but verse 6 is where I'm preaching from. So, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now go back, please, to verse 6. And I want you to notice something very basic about this verse. The Apostle Paul says, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, I want you to think about this subject tonight. Two paths. Paul lists two paths upon which men can walk. He says there is the carnally minded man, and to walk carnally minded, in other words, to be unsaved and walking in carnality, in the way of the world, in the flesh, there is no spiritual life, only a fleshly life. And Paul says the end result of that is death. And then he says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now let's think about those two paths tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us the Word of God. I'm so thankful that I don't have to come in here tonight and just preach for 35, 40 minutes on what I think. But Father, I have your Word in front of me, and I pray that you will bless your Word tonight. We have come tonight not to hear what I have to say, but to hear what the Lord has to say. And so I pray that you will bless our time together this evening. Thank you for each one who is here, And Father, help us to realize there is something in the message for each one. May we have spiritual ears to hear what you have for us tonight. Bless now, Father, we pray, we yield this time to you. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. An interesting study in your Bible is to notice how often God speaks of how every person is either on one path or another in life. It's really fascinating when you stop and think about it. And the amazing thing is how the Bible is so consistent. We are always only shown two ways, two paths from which we might choose. For example, when Joshua called the children of Israel, his family and the elders all around him while he was on his deathbed, he asked the people to choose whom they would serve. And I challenge you to go back and read what Joshua said. For in that challenge, he said to them, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." He said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then he proceeded to give them only one other option. He said, "You can choose the God of Israel, the God of heaven, or you can choose the false gods that their fathers served before the flood." Now, that's a pretty revealing statement right there. And when you remember when Elijah, the prophet, went up on Mount Carmel, he challenged the children of Israel and King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. He challenged them by asking this question: "How long halt ye between what? Two opinions." Exactly right. So you're either on one path or you're on the other path. And then Elijah said to them, he said, if God is God, then serve him. But if Baal be God, then serve Baal. So he only gave them one of two options and asked them to choose. You remember in that great message the Lord Jesus preached that is recorded for us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And in that great message that the Lord Jesus gave, he spoke to the people about them being on one of two different paths. He said, "You're either on the broad way that leads to death and destruction, or you were on the straight and narrow way, which leads to life." And so he only gave them one of two options. You either go one or the other. And so the bottom line, as you read the Bible, is to understand that every person, and every person sitting here tonight, every person listening to this sermon, every person, you are either on the right path or you're on the wrong path. It's just that simple. When you break it all down, every person is either on the right path or they're on the wrong path. And sadly, the right path is the unpopular path. You know that, don't you? The right path is the unpopular path. And folks, listen, that's why there are so few on that path, because it is the unpopular path. And the wrong path, the broad way, is the one every man should strive to avoid. And yet, sadly, that is the pathway in which so many people today are on. Now, our text elaborates on these two paths and helps us see the way in which we ought to walk. Now, as we stand tonight on the threshold of 2019, I want you to ask yourself, which path am I on tonight? Ask yourself, what path am I on? And if you are on the wrong path, why not make a good decision and start the new year out the right way by getting on the right path, the path with God? Now, I want you to notice just a couple of things with me tonight from this text verse. Let me read it to you once again. Look carefully at your Bible. Paul says, "For to be carnally minded is death." I want you to notice, first of all, the path of the flesh. To be carnally minded. The Apostle Paul does not mince words here in this verse. The first lifestyle path is the one of death, and it is to be carnally minded. And I want you to notice two things about the character of this path. First, notice the definition. You will look carefully at the verse, "For to be carnally minded." What does carnally minded mean? Well, it's interesting that in the New Testament, carnal is always held up in contrast with the word spiritual. Have you ever noticed that? Just about every time you see the word carnal in your New Testament, you're going to see the word spiritual laid beside of it. Why? Because it is the contrast that helps us understand what a carnally minded person is. Whatever carnal is, we know that it must be the opposite of spiritual. You see that? So it must be. And we certainly all know what spiritual means. A spiritually minded person is one who is governed and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And so by contrast, a carnal person is one who is governed and controlled by the physical, by his or her old sinful fleshly nature. And this is the person who is governed by their appetites. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I jokingly told you, although there is a great principle illustrated in it, but I jokingly told you about that old English bulldog that Karen and I had when we moved here. She was 60 pounds of flab. That's what she was. And she was only about that long, but she was also only about that wide. I mean, she was just a monster of a dog. And she only stood just, you know, about that high off the ground. But little old stubby legs and bow-legged as she could be. And she had this great big old jaw, the bottom jaw that jutted out. I mean, she looked like she'd been chasing parked cars. That's what she looked like. And bless her heart, everything about that dog, everything was that went through her mind was stomach related. Can you identify with this? He's got a bulldog. He's got a bulldog. Everything, not him, the bulldog. Shame on you people. Shame on you. Shame on you. Listen, everything that dog did for her 13 years of existence was because of her carnal, fleshly appetites. Everything. Everything she did was either connected to sleeping or eating, and mostly eating. And I kid you not. When we ate dinner, when the kids were home, we would eat dinner, she would sit and beg. And she would beg at one of them, and then if she didn't get what she wanted, she'd go beg off another, and then she'd come beg off the other, and then she'd come beg off me, and I usually fed her. I'll be honest with you. I usually fed her. But it was constant. It was constant. And I was thinking, one of the kids the other night fixed, or the other day, in the middle of the day, which shocked me, but they fixed a bag of popcorn. And if you listen, you put popcorn in the microwave, that dog went nuts. She loved popcorn, just loved it. And seriously, if you popped her an entire bag and then just opened the bag up and laid it on the floor, she would eat that bag of popcorn faster than you could blink. Now, I kid you not, that dog was carnally minded, if ever there was. All she thought about was her belly. She found out one day that the neighbors put cat food out on the back porch. And every day after that, when I let her out, she would make a beeline down the hill. And she would go down, and I'd see her down there scarfing up that cat food off that woman's back porch. And then that sorry thing would walk over and sit at the edge of the driveway and look up the driveway like, when you coming to get me? Seriously. And I would have to go down a hill and get her. And I would say, get up that hill. And she would just sit there and look at me like, no. And she wouldn't move. I would have to pick her up or go get the car and drive the car down and throw her in the back of the car. She'd walk down the hill, but she wasn't walking back up. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? The flesh was given priority in every situation. And you see, folks, that's what Paul says is what a carnally minded individual is like. Their only concern is their flesh, their appetites. The flesh is given priority. The interest of the person are earthly, not heavenly, not spiritually. Every minute of every day is lived on a horizontal plane, and there is no vertical whatsoever. No relationship with God. Everything is just on the earthly level. And folks, that so sadly is where so many people live. People will go find them a church that believes in drinking alcohol just so they can go to a church and say, well, I go to church. Isn't that good enough? No, that's not good enough. You need a relationship with God. Amen. And people have left here and gone and found them a church that they can identify their fleshly appetites to. Now that happens. I know, because I've been told by them when I ran into them later. Why did you leave? Oh, well, I felt guilty going to Open Door. Why? Well, you preached on drinking, and I got under conviction, so I went and found me a church and didn't preach on that. And this fellow honestly sat right over there for years. Secondly, notice the result of being carnally minded. We got a definition, but look at the result. Paul said in the last part of that first phrase, to be carnally minded is death. The result of being carnally minded is death. And this death is spiritual death. It's spiritual death. Those people whose interests do not include heavenly things, spiritual things, and who do not want a relationship with God will not receive eternal life in heaven. I saw this last week, I saw a video in the UK Daily Mail, and the question was asked, who is going to heaven? Who is going to heaven? Now, this was on in the UK Daily Mail, a huge newspaper, England's premier, England's USA Today, if you will. And so I thought, wow, I got to read this. So I clicked on it, and here was this fella giving just a huge ecumenical response as to who is going to heaven. And I listened to it. And when I listened to it, he said absolutely nothing about people repenting of their sin. Nothing. Nothing. Can I remind you, folks, the Lord Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This guy said nothing about repentance. Who's going to heaven? He went through the whole litany, but he never said one thing about anybody repenting of sin. He never said anything about how Jesus took our place on the cross, how he died in our stead. There was nothing said about making a personal decision where you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing. Nothing was mentioned. But that is the way the carnal mind looks at spiritual things. And Paul says the end result of this mind and this way of thinking is death. Listen, dear friend, you do not want to be on the wrong side of this matter. You don't want to be. There's a lot of people that are on the wrong side of that road. And Jesus said that the broad way that leads to death is crowded. Hold your place here in Romans and go back to the book of Matthew for just a moment, chapter 7. And let me show you what Jesus said about this. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 13, Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So the Lord Jesus very clearly says that the broad way is where you're going to find most people walking today. That's the world. That's the guy that is carnally minded. But now, secondly, I want you to go back now to verse 6 of Romans 8 and notice the path of the spiritual mind, the path of faith. Paul says, for to be carnally minded is death. But then notice the second thing Paul said is about the spiritual mind. And what he says here is to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. So notice, there are two lifestyle paths that you can take through life. You can be carnally minded, which results in death, or second, you can be spiritually minded, which results in life and peace. Man, why would anybody want to go the route that's going to take you to death? Why would anybody want to do that? But yet, that's the one that the majority of the world is on. So notice two things about the path of faith. Let's begin here with In the same way we did with the first one, let's begin here with a definition, with an explanation. What does spiritually minded mean? What does it mean to be spiritually minded? Well, I think in simple terms, it means to have time for the Lord. It means to have time for the Lord. To be godly in your thinking. Now, do you know how to be godly in your thinking? You need, in order to be godly in your thinking, you need to think like God thinks. Do you get that? You say, well, Pastor, how can I think like God thinks? I'm glad you asked. It's right here. Right here. You get in the Word of God and you start to think like God thinks. Have you ever noticed that when you hang around someone, I'm sure you've noticed this in your kids. Your kids would hang around somebody and then your kids start acting like them. They talk like them. They gesture like them. That's just the way we are. That's the way human beings are. We adapt to the situation, to the circumstances around us. Oops, sorry about that. Sorry about that. I dropped my microphone. But we, hold on. Sorry, but I'm adapting. That's right. Well, that's never happened before. First time for everything. How did that happen? Probably because I'm getting so fat. All right, but anyway, you adapt to the situation, right, Janet? You adapt to the situation, to the circumstances around you. All right, I remember when I was a younger preacher that of course you all know that Glenn Matthews was my hero. He was my mentor. I mean, I watched his every move, everything he did, and then when I started in the ministry, the first church that I pastored or was called to was the one in Dixie or the one in Glenville, but the second church that was up and going that called me was the church at Dixie. Now, in 1953, I think it was, or maybe 54, that was Brother Glenn's first church. All right? So many of the people that were in the church when I went there to take the church were in the church as younger people when he was there. And so the very first Sunday that I went in to preach for them, they all said, "He just reminds me of a younger Glenn Matthews," because I went in and I preached an expository message just like Glenn did, and I gestured just like Glenn did, and gave an invitation just like Glenn did. I mean, everybody's called me in that church called me Little Glenn. And I took that as an honor. But what I'm trying to get you to see is you behave like those that you hang around with. You see, if as a Christian you're in the Word of God on a daily, regular basis, you're going to start acting like God. You're going to get the mind of God on any matter, and you'll start acting like God. That's what it means to be spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded is the exact opposite of being fleshly and carnally minded. To be spiritually minded is to endeavor to know and do God's will regardless of what the physical wants and what the physical craves. Let me say it this way. To be spiritually minded means that we put the emphasis on eternity, not today. Not today. It means that we will be more concerned about our relationship with God than we are our relationship with the world. So which road are you on tonight? Are you on the road of the flesh, or are you on the road of the Spirit? Two ways. Are you on the crowded and busy road of the carnally minded, or are you on the road of the spiritually minded? Two roads, two paths, two ways that you and I can go through life. Folks, listen, a spiritually minded person will do some things differently than a carnally minded person. That's just all there is to it. The spiritually minded person loves certain things that the carnally minded person doesn't love. For instance, the spiritual mind, the spiritual man, he loves to read his Bible. He loves that. And he will love reading it and studying it and learning it and hiding it in his heart so he won't sin against God. A few months ago, I was preaching in Ohio. And a fellow came up to me and he said, I really enjoyed the service tonight. And I said, good, I'm glad you did. I said, how long have you been coming to church here? And he said, 3 months. I said, oh, that's great. I said, how long have you been saved? And he said, 3 months. And I said, oh, I said, so you got saved here? He said, yes, I did. And I said, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And he said, I want you to know something, preacher. I said, what's that? He said, I've read the Bible through 3 times. I said, what? He said, I've read the Bible through 3 times. I said, wait a minute, you've only been saved for 3 months. He said, yes, sir, and I've read the Bible through 3 times. And I said, well, that's amazing. And he said, well, let me tell you how I did it. I said, okay, tell me. He said, before I was saved, I used to come home and sit down in front of the television set, and I would watch TV until I went to bed at night, till I went to bed after the evening news, at the 11 o'clock news. He said, but now that I'm saved, he said, I come home, I eat dinner, and then I sit down and I start reading my Bible where I left off the night before. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a spiritually minded person. That is where we ought to be. I mean, this fella has a mind that loves God more than he loves the world around him. That's a spiritually minded person. And that's where God wants us to be. By the way, Christian, there is nothing on that one-eyed monster that is going to make you a better Christian. Amen. There's not a thing on that one-eyed monster that's going to bring you closer to God. But the Bible will. The Bible will. And I just wish that some of you folks would make up your mind that you're going to lose yourself in the Bible in 2019. I wish you would decide that you're going to start in Genesis and you're going to read through the Bible. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, from start to finish, from beginning to end, you're just going to read your Bible. I have taught you so much about the sections of the Bible and the law and the history and the poetry and the prophets and the New Testament. And we've looked at the books of the Bible and what they're all about. And I know that probably 99.9% of you in this church, with the knowledge you already have, you could sit down and start in Genesis and read your Bible, and most of it you would understand without even thinking about it. You would understand what God is saying. You might stumble a little bit when you get over to Ezekiel or when you get over to Jeremiah, but then if you just stop and realize that both of those guys are talking about the Lord coming back, and everything is about the second coming, and you would just rejoice in that. Paul says that we're to be spiritually minded. And folks, that's how you get spiritually minded. I wish I could just stand up here and say, well, folks, I got a pill, and if y'all come by tonight, anybody wants to be spiritually minded, I'll just dole you out a pill, and you can be spiritually minded. But that's not how it works. To be spiritually minded is to get in the book. Amen. It's to grow in Christ. Then look, secondly, at the effect of being spiritually minded. Paul says, but to be spiritually minded is two things, life and peace. Life and peace. Life, eternal life, heaven, watch, peace, that's for now. That's for now. Eternal life, that's for later. Peace, that's for now. Great peace have they, which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. My, how it all ties together. Isn't that amazing? And you know, neither one of these two elements, life or peace, neither one of these two elements is seen by most folks today. I've told you before, if you stop 10 people randomly, just go down here to the mall and stop 10 people and ask them if they are sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, most of them will look at you and say, well, I sure hope I am. I want you to know, folks, salvation is not hope so, it's know so. You can know. Take your Bible and go over to 1 John for just a minute. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Look at let's start in verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not, there it is, one of two paths. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what's the next word? Know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. My dear friend, listen, don't go through life wondering, hoping, crossing your fingers, and always feeling like you have to do just one more little good deed to cancel out a bad one that you've done. Don't go through life thinking that you're in a foot race with the devil to the pearly gates. You don't have to live that way. No, sir. You can know that you are saved from your sin. You can know that. And that is one of the benefits of having a spiritual mind. You know that you are saved. You know where you stand with the Lord. And you know that life is in you. You know that eternal life is in you. It's yours. And nothing can take it away from you. You know that. That's a spiritually minded person. He has life and peace. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist from the 1900s, used to say all the time in his preaching, He would say, I am so secure in Jesus, I could swing over the pits of hell on a spider's web, singing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That's good, isn't it? That's the result of having a spiritual mind. But salvation not only brings life, it also brings peace. In the book of Ephesians, Paul argues that the unsaved man is at enmity with God. Same thing he says right here in in this eighth chapter to the Romans. Enmity. When we are unsaved, we are always fighting with God. But when you come to Christ, then there's peace. No more fighting. The songwriter says, peace, peace, wonderful peace. The Lord Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Peace. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And by the way, nothing means nothing. Nothing shall offend them. I think you can see how important it is to walk in the path of faith, to walk in the path where there is life and peace. If you choose to walk in the path where there is the carnal mind, what awaits you out in the future is death. And what you'll have here is enmity, no peace. You say, well, Pastor, we're all going to die. Yes, unless the Lord comes back, you're correct. We are all going to die. But the difference between you dying as a carnally minded individual and one of us who are saved and spiritually minded is this. We go to heaven immediately after death. And you go the other direction. You say, well, you don't know that. Yes, I do. You say, well, how do you know that? The Bible says. You see, the Bible very clearly tells us, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So, two paths. And I need to ask you tonight, which path are you walking on? Which path you on tonight? Be careful now, because the carnally minded path is death. You don't want to go that way. You want to get on the spiritually minded. But the only way to do that is come to Christ. You got to get saved. You got to get saved. You don't want to toy around with your eternal soul. But to be spiritually minded, that's life and peace. Life, eternal life. Peace for now. Listen, I don't always feel like I'm saved, but I'm always saved. I mean, you can catch me when I'm feeling the worst, and you can say, Pastor, are you saved? And, oh, yes, I'm saved. Through the pain, I'm saved. It's not hope so, it's know so. So let me ask you, which path are you on?